Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. Hank Vogler checking in on this Columbus Day, which also happens to be my birthday, 2021. How are things in North Spring Valley, Nevada?
22 degrees and the mother of all storms, better get here pretty quick. They cut us down from 3 days of just absolutely 6-8 inches of snow to, maybe not. So, story of my life.
And you're at 22.
Yes. And yesterday is the first day. You know, just for perspective, this isn't whiny. There's nothing I can do about it. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was the first day we had frost on windows. The air has been so dry, even though we've had some temperatures below freezing, nothing. No humidity in the air to make frost on a window. So that's, if that gives you any perspective, that's what's happening here in North Spring Valley.
What, wonder where that barometer is. Where is it that you don't get any, like, dew? 10% humidity, or 5, or 20, or what?
It must be, it's darker more than we've had. And I see on the Weather Channel this morning that it's 25% this morning. So maybe that's somewhere.
Well, yeah. I bet that 15 to 20, it would make sense to me.
Probably, yeah. But just absolutely, we get a frost every month as a general rule. You know, if we can just get some moisture, Trent, you know, you wheat guys, you'd like to have that wheat freeze to the ground a couple of times so it really stools out and comes back twice as thick. I don't need that. You know, if this is global warming, if we can get a little moisture, this is way more fun than 40 below zero and having all the pickups plugged in and the tractors plugged in and everything like that around here. I mean, I got a sack of macadamia nut seed. I'm going to start pineapple and macadamia farm here, by golly.
Are you sure you don't need to stool out?
Well, no. No. But there's something very serious that I need to discuss with you.
All right. That'd be something new for a Monday with you.
Well, yes. Now, do you remember the adage, there never was a horse that couldn't be rode, and there never was a cowboy that couldn't be throwed?
Nope.
Well, times have changed. Times have changed, the trauma that you as an individual human being with the big brain and the opposable thumb can cause to a young horse when he does something that you're not very proud of. Mm-hmm. And they have horse psychiatrists now. Now, I think you need to take your young horse to a psychiatrist and have he's been traumatized. Mm-hmm. Now, forget the fact that he knocked you out. Forget the fact that he had you down, mm-hmm. and you didn't know where you were at for some time, and probably still a little fuzzy in the brain this morning. So you just, you need to get
I'm
him
fuzzy
to
in the brain every morning. Now I just have a good excuse.
I think we should share that with the audience that Bronco Billy McCoy took a high dive yesterday.
No, I don't think they need to know.
And the horse is obviously traumatized.
Yeah.
He'll never forget what happened.
All right, moving right along. You didn't even wish me happy birthday. Don't know how many more I'm going to get.
I thought that you were ready for the NFR on your birthday, day before your birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
I had when I was like 9, my birthday pictures are serious skinned up nose. I was riding my bike, not a horse.
Uh-oh.
And somehow got in the loose gravel in the middle of the road going down a hill, and oof-da, I really scraped up my face. My mother still has those pictures, and that was a day before my birthday as well.
So maybe there's a message in this that you're just lucky.
Yeah. Guess what I got to do today, if I can feel like doing it. Because I'm not really good at getting on my hands.
Wean calves.
That's a good answer, but not until probably next week.
Okay.
Butcher a lamb.
Uh-oh. Well, my friend Robert from Romania was here, and he took a lamb home with him. So
they butchered at your place?
I haven't heard from yet.
Yeah. Well, my father-in-law, who is, he can do it with his eyes closed. He's a little off this week. He's 82. I mean, he'll sit there in a chair. And it'll be my first lamb, to be honest. I've helped him butcher a lamb. I've never butchered a lamb. Pretty much like a pig, you just don't want that lanolin to ever touch the product.
Well, and I used to put a little hole right up by the pelvic and fill them up with water. That kind of makes them really clean when you open them up. But if you get between the fell and the hide and you start peeling it with your fist, you can peel one off and look very professional. So,
yeah, it's kind of like I watched the last 3 minutes of the Texas A&M Alabama game the other night. Because, you know, I have a daughter and a son-in-law that are adamant Texas A&M fans. And so, anyway, they were behind by 7 points. Although they'd led for most of the game, they ended up winning the game by 3 with a field goal that was kicked with 1 second left on the clock. And Jimbo Fisher, in his interview after the game, he was talking about a quarterback that was young, has not played much. He's a sophomore. Their main quarterback got hurt, and they're talking about the progress he's made in the last 3 weeks, and Jimbo Fisher said, the only way you learn to ride is spend more time in the saddle, and that's what we're doing. So I'm going to apply that to, you know, butchering lambs. You can't learn unless you just get in there and start using the knife.
You got it. It'll be all right.
So I got a leg for you if you want to come over tonight. I'll give you a leg up.
That, yes. Oh, those lamb jokes. They just roll right off your...
They do. You know what you ought to do? Is that I got plenty of weeds, and I need some time in the saddle, clearly. So bring those ewe lambs. I'll winter them for you, and I'll feed you like a lamb.
Wow. There is an offer. There is an offer. You want 2,000 head by tomorrow or day after tomorrow?
How many can you get on one truck?
Oh, that size lamb, probably 550.
Yeah, since I haven't cleared it with the Speaker of the House yet, just send one truck and then we'll go from there.
Uh-oh. Hey, honey, have I got a deal for you?
You thought you had too many chores with 100 sows, 100 cows, and 20 horses. Hank's sending us 500 ewe lambs.
So, yeah, that's a good idea.
Speaking of Speaker of the House, did you see over the weekend she was with the Pope?
Which is kind of an oxymoron, but he's kind of turned his conversation seems to have more to do with the politics of socialism than the salvation.
Catholic faith. Yeah. Kinda. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's just an advocate
environmental extremism. And to even allow her in the same room. Yeah, even to allow her in the same room with somebody who obviously is not in favor of killing babies. I marvel at it, but I guess that's the politics of life all around the world, you know.
You can't say the Pope is opposed to killing babies when he publicly stated that he has no problem with the vaccine, which is not a vaccine, it's a jab, and contains aborted fetuses.
Well, I didn't know that one. Why am I not surprised? Everything has to do with politics and control. Nothing has to do with what's right, what's wrong, and common sense. It's just, I mean, look at this country. Do you know 80,000 people that are lined up on the Soviet border or the Chinese border or the Cuban border or the Haitian border or Venezuelan border trying to get in?
No.
And it's sort of like the Titanic. Everybody's trying to get in the lifeboat, and somebody's got to say, with that has their big boy pants on, has got to say, you know what? This lifeboat's only going to hold so many people at a time. Let's just hold it up here.
Yeah.
Wow. What a novel idea.
You know, that's a great analogy. You put too many people on any boat, and it'll go down. Hank Vogler, we are not overloading the boat. We just continue to supply the right amount. We will take a break. Certified Piedmontese, it is weaning and shipping time. When you wean these calves from the Certified Piedmontese program, you get them going good about 6 weeks. Want them to weigh 600 pounds, and then you ship them on to the next stage, but you're going to get rewarded properly. Calf prices are increasing, and you're going to get $180 over whatever the market price is in your local area every single time. Marlon Will has full details about being a part of a specific tender program. Certified Piedmontese, back with more Hank Vogler after this. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis alongside Hank Vogler checking in from White Pine County, Nevada, where he's going to bring me 500 ewe lambs, and I'm going to breed them to a Dorper.
No, you're not. Sorry. There will be a line in the sand. That will be a red line incident.
Well, that's what the Australians are doing. They're breeding them to hair sheep, so I thought you'd want to be a trendsetter. Well,
okay, Trent, it's very simple. It takes both hands. If you want, it's just like you wanted to butcher that first lamb. You got to do it. But it takes both hands to shear sheep. And you got to put your iPhone down. You cannot have your iPhone. And have you ever seen a kid that hasn't got an iPhone on him in his hand looking down? So how can they train up any people to do that? So I don't know. That's just the way it is. And plus, what in the world? I always thought Australia was right up with our country as far as using, kind of the independence. And they have gone absolutely cuckoo roots on this COVID deal.
That's a bit of media selective portrayal of the truth,
So I suppose it is, but it still sounds kind of weird.
No. If you're in New South Wales or you're in Victoria, you're screwed. But my friends that I talk to in Queensland and Western Australia, it's pretty much like life here. But, man, they've got some corruption in New South Wales and Victoria that they need to root out fast, because they're talking about putting people in concentration camps if they're not jabbed.
Yeah. I mean, that just seems pretty doggone strange. I mean, I couldn't handle it when they took their guns away from them. And the statistics went through the roof after they lost them.
Okay, let me just make this analogy. Just imagine, and this probably happens, if the world media reported everything that happened in California as, here's what's happening in the United States. This is what United States is doing. That's no different than what's happening in New South Wales in terms of how they're reporting it. Because we don't, you and I would never comply with what's happening in California.
Well,
I'm not going to do it.
Good. Okay. Yeah.
But what's happening in California does not mean it's happening in Nebraska. So same thing is happening in New South Wales. What's happening there? And by the way, they've rooted out $65 million worth of corruption to elected officials and a professor who've been paid to put the heavy hand of government on these people to get their jab in them. That at the end of the day still has to be the question that people ask. Why is there such a concerted effort to get a jab in every single person? You take a look at the age of 20 and under. The worst case scenario across the board is that you have a flu or a cold-like symptom. That's pretty much it. And now they're talking about...
Just like anything and everything, there will be some people that will have just zero resistance, and that cold will get severe, and it can be fatal. But the percentage of people that's going to happen to is minuscule.
Correct. And yet parents are giving kids jabs with all the danger, no upside, as gifts. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? I there's nothing that irritates me more than what I see happening right now with parents willing to allow or give their kids the jab with all the information that's available about how dangerous it is.
And the good news is CRT, there's always the straw. You know, government, unfortunately, every time it's been tried from the beginning of time, it's not always the popularity of the stud muffin, but down the ranks, the day you get your government job, you immediately know that you have got a leg up on everybody. You can't be fired. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that you can do. You're going to do everything you can to expand your position and grow the company, i.e. the government or the bureau or whatever you're dealing with. And that's what we're doing. And this critical race theory, I believe, is the straw that's breaking the camel's back, because these people have gone black, white, brown, every flavor there is out there, have gone to these school board meetings and these pompous petushkas that we elected. Because we ignored it. There was only one person running. There was no competition. So, oh, well, let Billy Bob do it or whatever. And so there they sat. And they have the teachers union in their court, yada, yada. And now we have Merrick Garland, who, God love, they didn't get him on that Supreme Court because he's obviously off his meds. And his son-in-law is making a fortune because he's selling the programs for critical race theory. Now, and the parents are waking up. That's what you have to do. You have to wake up the sleeping masses. When Gandhi got the people of India to walk out in the street and life became less important than freedom. That's what happened in our revolution. That's what has happened every time. Why did people line up with Genghis Khan? Why did people line up with Attila the Hun? Spartacus, whatever it was, there were people that would trade their life for freedom. And we have become so complacent. So absolutely, oh, well, you know, let's not say anything. Let's not do anything, you know. For goodness sakes, you know, we'll be next. Well, you are next. And these are the kind of events that hopefully will wake up America.
Yeah, it is happening. But it is slower than I thought it would be, to be honest.
It's never been fast. Yeah. Nothing has ever come fast. Our revolution didn't happen in 38 seconds. Lexington, Concord, all of those events, it just finally culminated in people that thought that, you know, life is not worth living under these circumstances. And so I pray to God every day that we have a transition back to normalcy. Getting government under control. The government needs to fear the people, not the other way around. That right. was what the founders wanted. But with complacent apathy, call it whatever you want. Yeah, it's not my ox being gored. You know, let's not ruffle any feathers. You know, we'll let it go this time. We can figure out how to live with this. Well, you know, let's not get excited here. We can live without that. Well, that's not, you know, and pretty quick. You enable. And that's what happens in each and every society. And they last about 250 years.
Yeah. We're there now. I can remember 10, 15 years ago, even when I started this very program, Rural Route, and people would tell me, I don't care if the government spies on my phone. I got nothing to hide. I'm like, you got everything to hide. Do you not understand what we lived through, what pain and sacrifice was made to preserve our right to privacy as one of those components? And you got nothing to hide. All of a sudden now, everybody's like, well, how come they know that? Well, because you allowed that to happen.
And now, just the coup de grace, a little French language there.
I have no idea what you said.
Coup de grace?
Yeah.
The final blow, to me, it looks like, they want to know about every $600 transaction you make. Now, that ought to be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you just sat down with inflation, just how many bills do you write a month, or anybody else writes a month that's under $600?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this is the training program. Remember, agriculture has gone from 98% of the people who signed the Constitution, that signed the Declaration of Independence, were involved in agriculture. Now we got, what, 0.5%?
Right.
Okay. Well, the government people want to tell you how to farm. And, well, if they know so doggone much how to farm, why aren't they doing it? Well, they don't know how. But they're garnering all the information, all the stuff that they can, because they've already convinced, well, when we take over, we know what to do.
Yeah.
Well, they don't. And you know what that is? It's called blood, sweat, and tears. When you don't have any skin in the game, when you don't wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh my God, if these prices go down anymore, I got to go back to the bank. Oh my God, we've had a terrible windstorm, a derecho in Iowa. We got to figure out how to get through this, because it's your skin that's in the game. And these people have no skin in the game. That's why production goes to kaput. And again, not trying to defend the Chinese way of life or my Chinese wife. She knows. She's seen it.
Not everybody can come up with. Not everybody can come up with that rhyme, but you did it quite well. Protect the Harvest continues to come up with the right recipe to get information to people about preserving property rights and individual freedom. It is about preserving our food supply and our energy supply, and we do that by focusing on the people that make it happen. This month's newsletter has a tremendous human profile of individuals who take care of land and livestock to make life better. Protect the Harvest. Get details at just that, protecttheharvest.com. We'll be back with more. My Wife is a Chinese Life after this. Welcome back. Rural Route, Trent Luce alongside, into the second half of the journey. Hank Vogler along, as he is every Monday. I was going to ask about production on the farm. We'll get back to that. Your stepson is en route to homeland China. How's that going?
Well, okay. Talk about news media control. I don't know. I'm not there. All I know is he had to have the jab, the double jab certificate, tested at the airport when he got there, waited 9 hours in the airport, then didn't get to go and change airplanes and go to Chengdu. He went to a hotel that he had to pay for, not on, you know, supposedly socialist medicine and everything is perfect in this perfect world that doesn't exist. He goes there. He's going to spend 2 weeks there. He's almost out of that concentration camp. And he said they're building these shelters everywhere. So now, are they preparing for a lot of people wanting to come and visit them all of a sudden? How many millions of dollars have they thrown away by the apprehension of people wanting to come and visit from America, from anywhere? And he is Chinese. And then he has to go to Chengdu for 2 weeks, same ritual, lock himself in isolation, be tested, whatever he has to do to get out of that. So 1 month of his going home is already going to be lost before he can hug his grandma and grandpa. So that's what I am saying. For whatever reason, the Dong Xiaoping let the genie out of the bottle, whether they did it legally, illegally, or whatever they did, I am sure that the British papers, the English papers, great whatever country, when they started manufacturing in America, got some bad press there that they had stole, robbed, cheated, taken away patents from England, because we were supposed to ship all the raw materials to England, be processed, and come back. We went to manufacturing in this country, Eli Whitney and the boys, lots of things. So whatever that evolution was, we can talk about that another time, but it happened. And what happened in one generation? An explosion of expansion, people leaving the tougher parts of life. And, oh, gosh, it wasn't all equal. It was pure capitalism, or whatever you want to call it. That country exploded. And now this guy that's in charge Winnie the Pooh wants to stuff the genie back in the bottle. And I promise you, it will destroy his own country from within. And all this saber rattling, all this nationalism is because I think there's a lot of disgruntled people that did get that taste of freedom. Maybe not the same freedom you have in the United States, but a freedom that they were never entitled to or privileged enough to get before. And now all of a sudden they got it, and now the government's trying to take it back away from them in an odd oxymoron kind of a way. Same thing's happening here. For some reason, people are wanting to embrace socialism. And it's nothing more than being lazy. They don't want to pay for this. They don't want to pay for that. Look at anything. Trent, $176 a semester, and I took between 18 and 23 credits a semester. My books would usually run me about 50, 60 bucks. And you could go buy secondhand books about anywhere. I had a full-time job, couple of full-time jobs, and somehow managed to get through in 3.5 years and got a degree. Well, then we started helping everybody because my generation was told by the previous generation coming out of the Depression and the Second World War, people with education did not get laid off in the Depression. The brass ring, the golden key is an education. So we all had to go to college. And so we all went to college and not ever, somebody should have went to trade schools. We didn't. We went to college. Then the Vietnam War come along, and people became professional students to avoid that issue. So we started throwing money at education. Did our education improve? Did we do anything any better? No. But the universities did whatever they wanted with the money. And giving a bureaucrat money, whether it's state, federal, or educational department, they spent more money. So then it cost more and more and more and more. And here you are, suffering through this by having your children as becoming of college age, and the cost of education has skyrocketed and the value of that education has not improved one bit. The endowments for places like Harvard and the old Eastern liberal schools, they've got enough money in the bank. Tuition could be free, but yet they get all the government money they can get in. Do they make the kids smarter than kids from India, kids from China, kids from Malaysia, kids from Europe? No. It's you cannot solve the problems with money. You got to give those people freedom and the incentive of a better life by improving their own particular position and standing on their own hind paws. Okay, I quit.
No, you won't quit, but that's why we have you on. Most importantly, I'd like somebody to explain to me, I think I know the answer, but here in the greatest free country in the world, where people have had the ability for 200 years to express liberty and freedom, we have the entertainment industry, and not all, but some of the most prominent vocal individuals within Hollywood, who've been trying to usher in socialism towards communism. And in China, I see over the weekend that the most prominent actress, Zoe Wei, has been erased from the internet because she's been vocal against the China Communist Party. And so I'm intrigued that in China, you have individuals in the entertainment business who are the voice of freedom. And here we have those leading voices in Hollywood being the voice of headed towards communism. What's up with that?
What the people, they spend so much time trying to be the in crowd, trying to be the cool people, trying to be the trendsetters. They've never looked at history. And what is the history of communism? Who do you think Mao killed when they had the Cultural Revolution? The peasants? No, he had them out with hose and trying to make steel in little Dutch ovens out in the middle of the hinterland. They killed the teachers, the professionals, all of these things that may have had a different point of view than Mao. The Russians the same way, the hierarchy, everybody got slaughtered. And so all of the, who do you think that the, if communism takes over, who do you think's the first one headed for the gulag? Mm-hmm. It will be all of those people, actresses and actors and all of that crap. You know, I mean, that's just the way it works. It's jealousy, one of the seven deadly sins. It's just, you know, we are linked by our mitochondria back to the time when they got in the first fight over who was going to have the big room in the cave. It's always been that way.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. Oh, my goodness. All right. Now, as I promised, we have as much production as I think I've witnessed in my life at the farm and ranch level, Hank. From pigs to cattle to sheep. I don't know about sheep. Sheep just don't count. Cotton to corn to soybeans. I was in fields of corn last week in Illinois that are 310 bushel the acre, soybean fields at 85 bushel the acre. For those listeners in Minnesota, I know that you have a serious situation and there's corn fields at 100 bushel per acre in Minnesota. That seems to be the exception to what I'm about to say. But the rest of the Corn Belt, the rest of farm country is experiencing bin buster crops. And yet we see the government saying that because of problems in our infrastructure and it's a problem with our labor, we have increased food prices by 1.5% per month. And we are now paralleling what food price inflation was of 2011. Hank, I don't think we're close to where it's going to be yet.
No, absolutely not. Go buy next year's fertilizer. Go buy next year's fuel. Go buy next year's everything. You know, when the snowball starts rolling down the hill, it continues to get larger and larger and larger till it crushes your house. And that's what we're doing. And it all has to do with government control. You start reading the articles about solar panels. There's some toxic stuff in a solar panel. Now, maybe for me out here on the other side of nowhere, I could use a solar panel or two to pump a little water for some livestock. But putting in solar panels, trying to make Las Vegas work on solar panels. There's places out there that look like lakes with solar panels. And does it work? Well, you know, it's like the idiot said that he was going to take a rocket ship to the sun. And he said, well, you'll burn up. And he said, no, I won't. I'm going at night. Well, that's about as logical as, you know. I mean, there's no logic to it. Yes, there is a place for solar panels. There is a place for wind energy. There is a place for other things. And someday, some young person in his garage right now is going to come up with a cheap, efficient way to reduce hydrogen from water. And then the Arabs will have the largest beach with no ocean. There will not, you know, fossil fuels will be replaced, but they're not going to be replaced without some terrible pain. And the answers are not what's being promoted by the environment.
Yeah.
Only about control. That hasn't anything to do with it.
I'm not arguing with you, but the reason to move away from fossil fuels does not exist. The only reason that we move away from fossil fuel is because it changes the power structure of who owns controls your energy supply. It has nothing to do with the environment. Nothing to do with the environment. And we're going to allow this coal, we're going to allow this oil to just set in reservoirs for what purpose? Furthermore, I've repeated and told people time and time again, the very first oil well in the United States to be shut down was off the coast of Los Angeles, which at one point in time was one of the great oil producing regions of this nation, which shut down because of all of the stupid lunacy in California. And that oil well is now as full as it ever was. It's almost like it's regenerating itself.
Well, yeah, it's organic matter. It is the cycle of cycles.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now, wait a minute. I thought the first oil well was drilled in Pennsylvania.
You didn't hear what I said.
I thought
so. No. You did not hear what I said. The first oil well drilled was in Pennsylvania. The first oil well to be shut down because they said depleted was off the coast of Los Angeles. The funny thing is I had the same conversation with my governor, and he quickly, just as quickly as you said, no, the first oil well was in Pennsylvania. I know that. The first one to be shut down because it was depleted.
Okay.
Los Angeles. Okay. We got to go to a break. Excuse me. KarenStaley.com. Pay attention, Hank. I tell you that because I get told that every single day. KarenStaley.com with the album of the songs from the Arise USA tour, God Save the Cowboy. Get it today. It's only $20 along with four others. KarenStaley.com. Back with the last segment of Roll Route after this. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis alongside Hank Vogler, who right after the program is going to, when it gets dark, he's going to go to the sun in his spaceship.
Maybe William Shatner will go with me, you think? So
I saw that he was trying to go with Bezos. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah. Wasn't he the Star Trek guy?
He was.
Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk. I saw him in an airport once. Flew on the same plane with him, actually. He was hiding from everybody. It was funny. So, you have your sheep, part of your sheep, lamb crop sold, right? Not all of them?
Yep, part of them, no.
Well, that was a good move because they're going to continue to go up, right?
Well, they've gone down a little bit. But the thing ever was is the ones that I sold tied the record for the lightest lambs I've ever shipped off of this place in my life for the same horrible reasons. And the rest of them are smaller than that. I kind of topped them out. So I'm got some pasture lined up in California once again to kind of frame them out and then sell them after the first of the year. Because once again, our income tax structure is that the lamb crop that I had last year, were sold in this year. So if I sell this lamb crop in this year with the boost in prices, I wind up with a pyramiding of my income, and therefore I got to give it back to JoJo, and he doesn't seem to know what to do with it.
He's already spent it, so he's looking for it, just so you know.
Yeah, I figured that. So, you know, I mean, this is a little more complicated industry than a lot of people would think. And so you think that you're hitting a home run. You think you've kind of turned that corner. And then your partner shows up, your silent partner, who hasn't had one drop of sweat run down the crack of his patushka, wants his cut off of the top. And now they want to fix it. So when you die, they get it all. So you better bet you. So, by the way, speaking of having to straighten out your life, and happy birthday, young man. Mm-hmm. 3 days. October 14th was the day that they put me under the knife and told me to get everything straight because I was not going to live.
October 14th.
That was 10 years ago.
10 years ago?
10 years ago. Yep.
You're one in a million, Hank Vogler.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if you can borrow any money at the bank against that. So
isn't that the story that one in a million survived pancreatic cancer?
I have no idea. Don't even want to.
I'm sure.
You know.
You're one in a million.
It's not very good. However, even since then, they've come up with a few, you know, better programs so that maybe more people will survive. Somebody's going to cure that. I mean, irregular cell growth. There's going to be a cure for a lot of things. But you know what it'll be? It'll be with the incentive of freedom. Mm-hmm. It will be the incentive of having a better life for you and your family. A reason, you know, there's only so much humanity in the human being. After that, it would be nice to have nice things. Not everybody wants to be the same, i.e. communism. And then that's a joke in itself, because if you're in the hierarchy, you're the one that gets all the good stuff. Everybody else, you know, equal but poor. So I cannot believe that we do this to ourselves, but we have done it time and time again.
Well, you stated early on, we just need to be better students of history. There's nothing new happening here. It's just different tools.
Yes. And the information spread is quicker. Mm-hmm. You instantly and I swear by this, that's what happened to the Vietnam War, that, you know, there was no John Wayne movie there. Every night, you could see the neighbor kid on a stretcher missing body parts.
Right.
And then you saw that they took the same hill 27 times, and there was no incentive to get out of it because there was a slug of money being made by the industrial complex, whether it was bullets or whatever was being provided or meals ready to eat, whatever was involved with that. You know, Major DeRocher told me that. He said, there's two things we'll never get out of Vietnam. One, the women are too good looking, and too many people are making too much money. And that was a serviceman and very cynical about it. So,
well, actually, I never really put that into context until you just did it. But the media completely screwed the people of the United States and Vietnam. It's a direct parallel to what's happened today in the last 2 years.
Yep. But the media sells copy, and sells copy, i.e. advertisement. And so if you're the big dog in the media, you get the most money in for your product, telling the lies.
I don't disagree with you that that's the story, but that's not the motive. This is bigger than just trying to generate profit. This is contributing to the demise of a civilization.
People are jealous. People all over the world are jealous. Would you rather be liked in the world, or would you rather be feared and respected?
Mm-hmm.
Respect comes with strength. Oh, they're such nice people. You know, I mean, half of the people that I've met in my life that everybody thought they were the bunch of fun and nice people, a lot of them were not the people that did things. They were the people that did nothing, but they had other talents or whatever. I mean, you know, and then just as I was the idiot sheep guy around here. Why would anybody go in the sheep business? I don't even know myself, but here I am. And now there are people that badmouth me that with a modicum of success. I mean, I didn't start with very much, and I hope when my kids take over that they'll have something that they can continue on with. But the mood changes. It's just human nature to be jealous. It's human nature to deal with the seven deadly sins. You know, they didn't come up with the seven deadly sins the day before yesterday.
No, you don't think?
I don't think so. I think they've been around for a long, long time.
Yeah. Maybe since Eve took a bite out of that apple.
Yeah. Well, you know, that her parents were fighting over the same deal. Do we bite the apple or don't we bite the apple? So, anyhow, it's just human nature.
Well, actually, her sons just kind of epitomize everything that's happening today, divide and conquer, Cain and Abel.
You got it. Yeah. So, again, we either get shook by what's happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, the happiest person on earth is Jimmy Carter. He lost his position as the worst president in the last 100 years Obama.
No doubt.
And now Obama can't even run a second to who's in there now. And I'm not so sure that it's not Obama pulling the strings.
Oh, I think it and actually, I absolutely think that it is. And I think that he's not trying to win a popularity contest. He's trying to control the world. Well, yeah, I don't think it's him. I think it's who he's working for.
Yeah, that's very well could be true. But whatever it is, I can't believe when you already have money and power and everything like that, that I guess it's just human nature again. You want more.
Mm-hmm.
You want more. It's not enough. It's never enough. So, I mean, wow. But who's going to suffer? The apathetic people that allow them to do this. That's who it's going to be happening. I saw it in Living Color in my hometown. You know, why didn't that entire town stand up against the spotted owl, the control of the forest and the timber? The population of Portland, Oregon was too huge. Eugene, they couldn't outvote anybody. Same way, once again, with the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, 62 different families and people had a stake in that. Now I think there's 19, all based on we're going to shove this down your throat. We're going to shove it down the wildlife's throat, even though they'll just move over to private land, which they did. And they ruined one of the most productive areas in the world, not only wildlife, but also agriculture was benefited and contributed to the benefit of the wildlife. Got rid of all of it. Got rid of the records that showed it. took the records to the dump.
They had a shredder. They had a shredder because the person who worked in that BLM office in Burns contacted a friend of mine and talked about the shredding of documents taking place to destroy the history, so we didn't know what really happened.
And even in my little world, the power of people, the paperwork was never done. The ranch was finally sold to another organization. They tried to cover it up. They didn't get it done because the people that were working at the BLM didn't want to do the work, didn't want to do the monitoring. So it rolled over to the next deal. And then this huge, powerful control of the entire state of Nevada came into power. And everybody's running for the door. Nobody wants to stand anywhere near the hot stove. And yeah, it's just over and over and over again. People in the government, even though for whatever reason they take that job, many of them are well-educated, and they went there for good, honest reasons. And then the hierarchy has already been so jaded that they push those people down till they either leave or become part of the system. The system as the hierarchy believes.
Yeah.
I am sure that there's lots of people in the CCP, in the Congress of the CCP, that would like to go back the way it was with the freedoms that they had. And are they going to say anything? Absolutely not. They don't want to.
They like their head on top of their shoulders. Is that what you think?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. As my wife's friend told me, right now, if you say anything against the government of China, you go on the missing list. Well, whether you wind up in a concentration camp or dead, you're gone.
It was a great education for me in my ignorance. You'll remember when you told me that your wife said that there were lines for pork up to 2 miles during that height of the Asian swine fever in China and the pork population. And I said, just have her take a picture. And then there was no way I was going to coerce you into coercing her to simply take a picture of these lines of people because there was too much risk. That puts it all into context for me.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes all, and it, again, it's control. And when you think that you're going to be in the front room group, you're surely not going to do anything that's going to get you kicked back with the rest of the great unwashed.
Yep.
That's why the comment clinging to their guns and Bibles. Well,
yeah, that's what it all. Hey, that comment's what it all comes back to for me.
You bet. Yeah. You bet. And he meant it. He meant it. And he absolutely lived in a privileged life. And if anybody is embarrassed of his privileged life, it was him.
Yeah.
He didn't come up from a family of slaves worked in the fields.
Or his husband.
He had her maid.
Yeah. We have successfully journeyed down the road, connecting rural and urban America. Both Hank Vogler and myself remind you that all roads do lead to a rural route.